Hello, I'm Matthew McDill. This is a recording of a teaching I gave on Genesis 18, verses 16 through 19, on June 26th, 2016, at our church, Highland Christian Fellowship. As we've been studying Genesis 17 and 18, we focused on God's covenant relationship with us by observing how God established his covenant relationship with Abraham. And in these verses in particular, verses 16 through 19 of chapter 18, we see that in God's covenant relationship with us, he wants to use us to bless all the nations of the earth. That's amazing. And in this sermon, we're going to explore what that looks like. You can go to truthtofreedom.org and visit the downloads page to listen to other sermons. I've told the story before of when I was youth pastor, I would go to the high school in our town to visit the students. And a lot of times I would go to see the students who were in my youth group, but most of the time I was looking for students who didn't know the Lord, and I wanted to witness to them and share Christ. And so this one particular situation, I remember sharing the Lord and explaining the gospel to a few students. And one of the young men seemed to be really paying attention. And so I kind of focused in on him as I was talking and explaining that you can go to heaven instead of hell if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he said, okay. It was almost like, oh, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, I believe Jesus came to earth and he died for my sins. And so I was pretty excited. I thought, this is great. This guy wants to know the Lord and accept Christ. And so I said, well, we'll pray together. And this is how we pray. And he prayed. And the next week I came and I looked for this guy to find him. And I remember saying, so how's it going? And my anticipation was this guy had just started a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And something has changed and he's just engaged with the Lord. And I said, how's it going? And he was like, fine. No, like, how's it going? You know? And he was clearly looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, this reminds me of what some people call easy believism or something like that. Have you heard of this? And basically, do you know what I did? I had offered him an easy ticket to heaven. It was just basically, hey, you know what? All you have to do is say these words and believe this fact, and you get to go to heaven. And it's just a ticket. I'll just, you know. I did not introduce to him what we would call a covenant relationship with God. Interestingly, this is not the way I was presenting that. Isn't how Jesus did it. What did he do when people said, Jesus, Jesus, I want to follow you? What would he do? Like, hold on. You probably don't. What?
Sell all your stuff.
Yeah. So you probably don't. And right up front, when they said they wanted to follow him, Jesus would say, hold on, let me tell you what that means. Right up front. It's going to cost you this. It's going to cost you this. It's going to cost you this. You deny yourself. You take up your cross. You want to follow me to the cross? And so right up front, he wants to make sure that you know what you're getting. But we can't forget this. Jesus also told the story that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. What does that mean? Do you remember that? Or a treasure buried in a field. And what does the guy do when he realizes there's a treasure buried in the field? He sells all that he has in order to purchase the field. Now, why would that make sense? Because the treasure in the field is worth more than all that he has. So we can't forget that when we're thinking about making the choice to give all to Jesus, we're getting the best part of the deal. It's not like, oh, I have to give this and this and this. Because he gives us a treasure that's worth way more than we're going to give anyway. I want to ask this question as we go back to Genesis 18. Are Are any of us here, this is a really important question that I want you to ask yourself. Ready? Are any of us here victims of easy believism? Do you believe that you have a ticket to heaven, but you don't have a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And so the question we would next ask is, what does that look like? What does that mean? Another question we might ask ourselves, are we perpetuating easy believism? And what does that mean? So what's great about this is we see in Genesis 18, a picture, an unfolding picture of God's covenant relationship with Abraham. And this is teaching us what a covenant relationship looks like. Okay? So let's go back to Genesis 18 and look at this, and hopefully it'll help us understand what we're talking about when we say we have a relationship with God and what it means to be saved and how we get saved. So let's turn again to Genesis 18. Here's what we covered last time. In God's covenant relationship with us, He blesses us with personal fellowship. So one of the most important aspects of our covenant relationship with us is personal, intimate fellowship. That's part of the relationship. That's part of His purpose. Number two, God's covenant relationship with us. In God's covenant relationship with us, He will accomplish His purposes by doing in us what we can't do in ourselves. He will accomplish through us what we cannot do ourselves. And what's so great about this is it continues to ensure this. If we try to correct easy believism, we don't fall into work salvation. Because there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Absolutely nothing. God accomplished in Jesus Christ everything that is necessary to pay the price for our sin. So we don't combat easy believism with, well, you just have to work harder. That's not how we correct that, is it? And we're going to see how this continues to unfold in understanding righteousness and where Abraham got his righteousness. So, Genesis 18, we're going to move on to one other main point today about what our relationship with God looks like, our covenant relationship with God. If you remember last time, God appeared to Abraham, and three men came to him. And what it's looking like is one of these men is the representation of the Lord, and the other two are angels. Some people think that all three men are representing the Lord. It doesn't really matter. The Lord is here, manifesting Himself, revealing Himself in physical form. He appeared to Abraham. And Abraham came out and said, please come sit down. And he served them and spent time with them. And this was helping us to get a picture of this fellowship, this personal fellowship that we have with God. And then the Lord says, where's Sarah? And He reaffirms His promise that Sarah would have a child, and that when He came back a year later, she would have a child. Now, what happens after this conversation and after this dinner? That's where we're going to be in verse 16. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And next time we're going to read the rest of the chapter where Abraham is talking with the Lord and he's bargaining for the salvation of the righteous, kind of in a way. Okay, so we'll talk about that intercession. Abraham is interceding for the righteous who are in Sodom. So here's the main idea today, okay? In our relationship, in our covenant relationship with God, God uses us to bless all the nations of the earth. All right, that's the simple first idea that we're going to focus on. In our covenant relationship with God, we want to know, what is our covenant relationship with God look like? Here's His intention of what it looks like. He is using us to bless all the nations of the earth. And we can see that by looking at what God says. So here we have the Lord and the two men decide to get on with the reason that they came by here. And they're going, walking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, looking down toward where they're heading. And Abraham, like a good host, is going to see them on their way. So he's walking along with them as they go on their way. And what's interesting is the Lord is talking to himself, right? And he's asking himself, should I hide what I'm about to do from Abraham? I wondered if he said it out loud. You ever had where somebody's talking about you and you're sitting there? Like, I'm right here, you know. Maybe he was just thinking, you know, maybe the Lord was conversing with himself and Abraham didn't know. But he's reasoning with himself and he's thinking, should I hide this? And then he explains why he's not going to. He's going to be a great and mighty nation. And then importantly, for this point, look at what he says next. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. One of the reasons that God is going to let Abraham in on the plan and purpose, on what he's doing, is because Abraham is already a part of the plan and purpose. Do you know what God's absolute, ultimate purpose for all of creation is? To bless all the nations of the earth. To gather from all the nations of the earth a people for himself. That he would be their God. That they would be his people. That is the number one ultimate program. And in this relationship that God has established, he is inviting Abraham to be a part of that. And he is making Abraham the first channel of this blessing. And look what he says next. For I have chosen him. And I have a little note that says that this word means to know. I'm not sure why it's translated that way. The King James and New King James, other versions say no. And God is saying this, I have known him. And what this is indicating, that God is saying is, I have established this relationship with Abraham. I have established this covenant. This is a reference to the fact that he's established this relationship. And why has he established it? Once again, we're looking at, he's inviting him in. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation. I have chosen him. I have known him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And listen to this part. So that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. What has he promised? He's promised to give him a son. He's promised to make him a great nation. He's promised to bless all the families of the earth through him. And he's promised him an inheritance. A home where God is his God. Okay. Interestingly, we're going to look in a minute how Abraham commanding his children and household was a condition for God being able to give him what he promised. Something to think through. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Okay, so we see that God has a purpose and a plan. And he wants Abraham, he's showing Abraham how to be a part of that. So how does this apply to us? Let's look at Galatians 3, 7 through 9. We've already read this a few times as we've gone through Genesis, but it's pretty important. Galatians 3, 7 through 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So, right off, it's really important for us to understand this. The great nation plus the nations being blessed is us. Okay? It's us. We are the fulfillment by faith of that promise. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Interestingly, Gentiles is the same word for nations. It's just the nations, you know. All the nations besides the Jews are the Gentiles, the nations. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying. So here's the gospel being preached to Abraham. In you shall all the nations be blessed. You know what we're hearing in Genesis 18 over and over and over through this promise? The gospel. The promise that all the nations would be blessed through Abraham. How did that happen? He established the nation of Israel. Through Israel, he raised up Christ, the Son, to die in the place for our sin. And that is how he blessed the nations. The Bible's explaining how all this worked out. Because it's already been fulfilled. God has already carried this out. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. So the blessing is fulfilled right here. Those people are the ones who are blessed, the Gentiles, the nations. It's amazing how this is exactly what Genesis 18 is talking about. This is what's on the heart of God as he's sharing and inviting Abraham into this relationship. So what does that mean for us? Well, what does the Lord say to us? What did Jesus say to the church, to his disciples before he left? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. God has invited his church, his people, in the new covenant, to continue to fulfill the mission to bless the nations with the gospel, the same gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what our part is. Let me just reemphasize the point here. When we are in covenant relationship with God, his intention is to use us to bless the nations. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I haven't been too many places besides North Carolina and Texas and Oregon and some states, you know, other states in the U.S., but I have had the privilege of visiting Peru, Russia, and Kenya. These are the three places I've gone, and all three were kind of like mission trips. And I can still, I like drawing from my memories because I was able to see the nations. I mean, I was able to see all the different kinds of people that there are. And I loved it. I loved learning new languages, learning new cultures, trying to understand how people lived and why they did what they did. I just loved that stuff. I really enjoyed traveling and meeting other people. I remember in Peru, the smell. Especially when you went in the city, you smelled either burning trash or you smelled the trash. I mean, that was about what you smelled. It was really a horrible stench when you were in the city. And I remember the slums there because we visited them. In Russia, I remember walking around in the city with some Russian college students. And they spoke English, so we were able to have an interesting conversation and talk about the Lord. They weren't really believers, and so I was able to talk to them and witness to them as we walked around the city of Obninsk. I remember in Kenya being able to preach to a bunch of high school students and share Christ with them and also play basketball with them and hang out with them. I just There's so many memories of that kind of thing. And one of my memories as I was visiting these places, almost every time I went somewhere else, I had one question the whole time I was there. Lord, do you want me to be a missionary? I just always asked that question while I was there. Do you want me to be a missionary? Do you want me to leave my home and go to a different place to reach the nations? I always ask that question. Well, I'm still here. So that means either I'm ignoring what God said or he said, no, he didn't want me to be a missionary. So in the sense of, I say missionary, in that traditional sense of you leave your home and go to a new place, a new culture where you're not from for the purpose of reaching the nations for Christ. And that isn't what God's called me to do. But I want to tell you something. I was ready to go. And that's what I want to ask you. Some of the most powerful messages I remember growing up that helped me bring myself to a total surrender to the mission of God for my life were missionaries who challenged me to at least be willing. And so that's a simple question that I want to ask you. And some of you I know right now in your mind and heart are already balking. Going, oh, no. I wouldn't do that. God wouldn't ask me to do that. He knows I can't handle that. He wouldn't tempt me beyond what I'm, blah, 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 blah. Excuses. This is one simple question. Would you go? That's my question. It's just a question of surrender. Would you live wherever God said for you to live? Would you work wherever God said for you to work? Would you speak to any people that God told you to speak to? I just want to be ready. And now, what I love about that mentality is going, you know what? Where I live is where God led me to live. I want to live right here, fully surrendered. You don't have to move somewhere else to be fully surrendered. Now, I would like to specifically say to the young people here, and parents are going to be mad at me for this. I want to specifically say to you young people, will you please ask God to lead you to go wherever He wants you to go? And I don't want my kids to go across the world where I can't see them. I don't want that. But I'm willing for them to do it. Why? Because they should be where God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to be doing. I don't want that, but I'll gladly sacrifice having things my way where I can have what I want so that the nations can be reached. How can we redeem right where we are? Reach the people right where we are and say, you know where I live, why I live where I live and why I work where I work? Hopefully the Lord has led me to this place. I want to be on mission right here, right where I am. Because here's what you can be sure of. God wants to bless the nations through you. And every single person you meet belongs to the nations. Every single person that you come in contact with, God wants to bless them through you. How did God bless the nations? Through Christ. Where is Christ? In you. You are the representative of Christ. He's ready to bless every single person you meet through you. And here's what I'm saying. If we have the heart of God, and if we are walking in covenant with God, do you know what that's going to look like? What does it look like to walk in covenant with God? Our heart is beating to bless the nations. And we want to know, how can I bring others into this relationship with God? How can I do that? And I'm asking myself a hard question. Is that the sign of the covenant in my life? Does that demonstrate? Am I so passionate about that, that it's obvious that I'm in walking relationship with Christ? Now, I want to add one other idea today about how God is working in us. To fulfill His purposes. And that is that he reveals to those in covenant that he's trying to work through, he reveals what he's doing. That's one of the ways that he invites us in. We saw that happening, right? That's the first question God is asking. Should I hide this from Abraham? And in the end, he makes it very clear, of course not. He's right on, he's on the team. He is right at the center of me accomplishing my purposes. So I'm not going to hide it from him. And he turns around and says, there's an outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah, and I have come to see if it's true. So I'll know. I want to read John 15 to you. A couple verses in John 15. Start in verse 12. So you know what's happening in John 15? This is one of the most important speeches or times of teaching that Jesus had with his disciples at the Last Supper before his death. Or, you know, after that. And he's talking to them, he's sharing with them all these very important things. And he's saying in verse 25, 15 verse 12, John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now I want to stop right here before I read the rest of it. The parallels in what Jesus is saying to the disciples with what God is saying to Abraham are pretty amazing. And one of the things that we're looking at in this covenant relationship is this emphasis of obedience. How do I know if you're my friend? Jesus says. How do I know if you love me? Jesus says. How do we know? How does he know? If we're obedient. Do you know what the sign of the covenant is? Obedience. It's righteousness and obedience. Is that how we get salvation? This is a really important distinction that we talked about last time, but let's reemphasize it. We do not get right with God. We do not get saved from our sin by being obedient, but by believing that Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And as we place our faith in him, here's what we do. We are entering into the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. But just like with every covenant, when you enter into that covenant, he expects you to walk in the covenant. And what does that mean? To walk in obedience and to walk in love. And let's look at what he says next. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Why? That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. I love that then he starts talking about prayer, because what happens next in the chapter with Abraham? He enters into prayer. Okay? We have fruitfulness. We have love, the blessing of the nations. We have the sharing. And Jesus said, you're my friends. And so everything the Lord is doing, I'm telling you. Everything he said to me, I'm telling you. I'm including you in on this. So here's a question that I have for you and for myself. And this is the last question we'll ask as we wrap it up. Do I know what God is doing? You know what God is doing in your life and in the people's lives around you? I just wonder if you're kind of drawing a blank on that. I don't know. I mean, I guess he's working. I hope he is. I assume God's at work. But do you know what he's doing? Here's another question. Are you asking, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing in my life? What do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do in my family's life? What do you want to do in the people's lives around me? Are you asking that? And how about this? Are you listening? Will you stop and listen? And find out, what is he doing? Because God is at work and he just wants to bless everybody. That's his heart. He just wants to bless everybody. He wants everyone to know how much he loves them. He wants them to enter into this loving covenant relationship with him so he can fill them with life. That's his desire. And he's inviting you. Not only is he drawing you into that relationship, he's wanting to use you to bless the people and to call and draw them. And he's wanting to show you what he's doing so that you can be a part of it and so that you can enter into it in obedience, so that you can enter into it in prayer. And I want the sign of that covenant just to be all over me. Just that my heart would really be burning with passion. I'm asking God to do. Give me a heart to bless the nations and to be that channel. I'm ready to be the channel that you want to use in my life. Now next week we're going to add one more thing. And that is that Abraham, one of the things that God said about him is that he's to command his children and his household. Do you know where we start? You know our step number one, the place that we start to bless the nations? Right there, your children and your household. So next week we'll talk about that. What does it mean to command our children to walk in the way of the Lord or to keep the ways of the Lord in righteousness and justice? It'd be amazing and to see how he prays. Well, let's just spend a couple minutes now and pray and respond to the Lord. We're just going to have a couple moments of quiet prayer. And as we do, I want you to pray. I just want you to respond to God. Whatever he's saying to you, especially this, you might be sitting here going, you know what? I'm a victim of easy believism. I'm here, and I thought all I had to do was walk an aisle, say a prayer, and get dunked. I did not know that God was calling me to a relationship, a covenant relationship with him, where I would walk in abundant life and obedience. I want to do that. I want it all. And it doesn't matter if you're like, well, was I saved before? Was I not saved before? Just forget all that. Make sure that you're right with God today. Make sure that you are in right relationship with him today. Don't evaluate where you've been, okay? If you have any questions or doubts, follow up and move into relationship with him. And for those of us in covenant, I'm looking for the sign of the covenant in me that my heart is breaking for the nations to bless them. And I just want to be a part of that. And so I'm asking God to do that in my heart, in my life. And you can be asking that. You respond to the Lord however he leads. We thank you so much, Lord, for the amazing way that you reveal your heart. You reveal yourself and your ways and your word by your Holy Spirit. Just amazing. It's amazing to me that we're in Genesis 18 and we're talking about the patriarch. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about history thousands of years ago, and we're already talking about the gospel over and over and over is the gospel. Over and over is your heart for the nations. Lord, it's just amazing, and I praise you for continuing to reveal yourself. God, we want to have a heart like you do. And I want to deny myself, but I want to go anywhere. I want to be anything and go anywhere to accomplish your purposes. Help us to respond to you now, Lord, as you lead us by your Spirit.